11 yards to go. Back to pass, Jackie Hood. Here comes the pressure. Has the screen pass set up. Intercepted. Shane Tafoya at the 30. Tafoya at the 50. At the 40 of NEO. At the 30 of NEO. Inside the 30 at the 27. Shane Tafoya, linebacker. Step right in front of the intended receiver, Mike, and there is a big turnover.
That was just perfect timing by Tafoya on that interception as he, again, is staying behind. The last second just reached up and ripped the ball right out of the air and did an excellent run. Looks like he's got a little tired down toward the end, but Dixie has come up with a couple of big breaks here in the ball game, and that may have been one of the biggest, getting it all the way down to the 27-yard line of NEO.
Timeout, and I'm sure Coach Glenn Wolf did not call that particular play to have it as an interception. Put it at the northeastern Oklahoma 27, first down and 10 for Dixie. First and 10 for the Rebels. Hand off to the tailback, Teddy James, who has fumbled twice, gets across the 25 down near the 23-yard line. So a gain of about 4 yards on the play by Teddy James. James, as we mentioned, was a transfer from University of Nevada, Las Vegas. He was the freshman who sat behind Icky Woods at UNLV as a tailback, and they redshirted him 1 year. He decided he didn't want to stay at UNLV, so came up to Dixie. Second down, about 6 yards to go at the NEO 23-yard line. 3:10 left in the first quarter of play. Big interception by Shane Tafoya. And off goes to the tailback again. Teddy James to the outside at the 15. Knocked off his feet inside the 15. There on the tackle was number 49, Brad James. Let's double check. 49, no, correction, 48. Walter Dupree is the man who reached out there and helped bring him down. Walter Dupree, James is a fullback. And Dupree, the cornerback who got up there. James, Teddy James, down near the 13-yard line. Enough for the first down? Yes. So James on the carry. First down and 10. James has the one touchdown on the day. Put it at the NEO 13-yard line. First down and 10 for the Rebels. Threatening once again. Hand off to the fullback, Wilson Kavaka. Met immediately, maybe a half-yard gain, but he was drilled by number 56 in there, Chuck Smith, the All-American candidate at defensive end. And no question about it, Chuck Smith is a Golden Norseman.
Well, he showed that's why he's getting all the attention. He stuck him and knocked him right off his feet immediately, held him to literally no gain. I've noticed, however, Larry, that a lot of tackles are being made by the secondary for both the defenses, and that's showing that there's some good offensive push-out by the offensive lines.
A short 10 yards to go, if you will. They got possibly a half yard on that play. Second down coming up for Dixie in NEO territory. Was there a jump? Did they get back onside? They did, but Teddy James is going to be stuck in his own backfield. Getting through was number 96. That was Jeff Frost. Frost on the tackle. Frost got in there, got help, but it was Frost initially.
Well, just as I mentioned that the offensive lines were getting the push that time, the defense got in. Frost was in there immediately. He got a hold of the running back about the same time James got a hold of the football. So a good defensive pressure that time. And it looks like right now the NEO at least starting to stiffen up on the defensive line.
Third down, about 12 yards to go, and put it back at the NEO 15-yard line. A minute 32 left in the first quarter. Two receivers to the left side. Third down, very long yardage, and northeastern Oklahoma staying right with Dixie. Back to pass, tighter DeHart. There's going to be pressure. DeHart on a quarterback sneak? No. DeHart's going to be dropped. He is going to have company. Lost back to the 18-yard line. Let's check all of the numbers there. Willie Allen in there, Dwayne Simmons in there, but it was Willie Allen, the man who was the initial man that got through.
You could see the pressure coming that time as all of the linebackers, Larry, stepped right up on the defensive line and came immediately on the snap, and DeHart had absolutely no time as he dropped back 3 steps he was swarmed under.
18-yard line, put the football on a snap to the 25, and Bill Hansen will try a 35-yard field goal. 7-0, the difference right now. The kick is up by Hansen. It will be low and off to the right. It may have been deflected, Mike. It may have had a hand in on it.
He also slipped just as he got to the football, so either the slip or the deflection, we're not sure which, but in any event, it goes incomplete, and so NEO is held, and that's really got to be a big mind lift for them, as they look like Dixie was on the roll again. They have held them away with no points to get back on offense.
Bring it back out to the 20-yard line. First down and 10 for the Golden Norsemen at their own 20-yard line. So two turnovers by NEO dodged. One was turned into a turnover by Dixie. And no scores resulting from turnovers yet. A missed field goal. Jackie Hood to try to engineer another scoring drive, but he'll have to begin from his own 20-yard line. Eye formation on the running backs. Dixie threatening the blitz, then backing away, threatening the blitz again. A problem with a snap from center. Did Dixie recover? Yes. And coming up with it is Dave Walsh. Walsh on the snap from center. Another turnover by NEO, Mike.
I'm a little bit surprised. We're seeing turnovers by both teams in the amount of fumbles. This is something you don't expect this late in the season. The weather's not that cold today, so I can't imagine that's a big part of it. But in any event, that was a very big turnover as NEO had stopped Dixie on their drive, held them to no points, and suddenly the defense is back on the field, and Dixie will try it from their the NEO 20-yard line.
First down and 10. At the NEO 20-yard line, that's a long time for the defense to have to stay out there. Just when they thought that they had done their job and had the breather, and suddenly they have to be back out there. And the mindset cannot be there yet. Dave Walsh, the hero that time, dived in on that bad snap. And off goes to the tailback, Teddy James, and he's going to be met immediately by Chuck Smith. Eric Coney. Coney, not Smith, but Coney is the man who came right through. Eric Coney, who did the job. And Teddy James headed in a backwards mode right now, back to about the 22-and-a-half-yard line, almost to the 23, loss of three.
It looks like Coney definitely had the mindset that time, Larry. He was quickly through the line, came untouched, and just got a hold of the running back before he could even get untracked. I wouldn't be surprised now to see Dixie open up a little bit and try and get a pass in.
Maybe one more play before the end of the first quarter. Yes, there will be. Pitch goes to the tailback, Teddy James, trying to sweep to the right side. James gets the 3 yards back and maybe a half yard more, but that's it. James down to the 20-yard line. Got the 3 yards back. End of the first quarter. Dixie with a 7-0 lead over Northeastern Oklahoma. We'll be back in 60 seconds.
At Alpine Computing, we happen to think putting a Macintosh computer on your desk is the best way for you to appreciate what it can do for your business. Announcing Apple's free trial run. Now you can take a qualifying Macintosh system back to your office free until December 31st. You'll quickly discover how the Macintosh is designed with you in mind. How it works like you do. Some restrictions apply. See Alpine Computing for details. Your authorized Apple dealer. Remember, Southern Utah Computer is now Alpine Computing with locations in Richfield and St. George.
It's born of caring and promises to endure forever. Your love and an art-carved wedding ring from MacArthur Jewelers. The very first symbols of sharing together are the rings you choose. That's why at MacArthur Jewelers, we're proud to share.
About ready to get underway with the second quarter of play. We asked the officials if they would give us a full 60 seconds on the timeout. So far, they have been kind and gracious that way. 7-0. Dixie with the lead, ready to begin the second quarter of play. It'll be third down and 10 yards to go at the Northeastern 20-yard line. Tyler DeHart under pressure throws desperately. Terry Weekly juggling it with one hand in the end zone. Couldn't come up with it. Tyler DeHart had a man right in his face, Mike, and let fly and almost completed the pass anyway.
I believe it was linebacker number 44, Mike Murray, got in, applied pressure to DeHart and the quarterback. And, yeah, he just let it fly. And, again, Weekly stretching out, did get one hand on it, was unable to haul it down. Good defensive pressure both on the quarterback and in the end zone.
Once again, Bill Hansen to try it. Put it at the 27-yard line. Trying to make amends for the last missed field goal. The snap is to the right. This kick is up. It looks like it may sail through. Is it? No. Hits the goal post, the upright on the right side. Just hits it and comes right back. If he had had it an inch to the left, it would have hit and gone through.
It hit it head on, Larry. Just smacked into that right upright. And as it hit it, it just bounced straight down. And the crowd buzzing belief. A couple of times, missing just low into the outside. Now it's a high fastball that didn't go through.
Coach Greg Croshaw talking with his kicker right now, and it doesn't look like there is pleasing language going in here. This is a case where you take whatever hair you have left and start pulling on it a little more, Mike. You have two field goals that are missed.
Any coach will tell you, you have to take advantage of opportunities. Any missed opportunity could cost you a ball game. And I'm sure that's exactly what he's telling his kicker right now. He says, hey, when an opportunity comes your way, let's make the best of it.
Quick outlet pass from Hood to Owens at the 20-yard line. Gets a quick 8 yards. So Owens on the receiving end of that pass to the right side. So a first and 10 from the Northeastern Oklahoma 20-yard line. You bring it right out to the 20, almost to the 28-yard line, 27-and-a-half-yard line from Hood to Owens. Make it second down, about 2.5 yards to go, just short of the NEO 28-yard line. Two receivers left, handoff goes to the tailback, LaShawn Johnson. As the first down, took one big step, went up over the defensive line and got across the 30, down near the 31-yard line or possibly to the 32-yard line. So Northeastern Oklahoma has been able to move the football. But that opening pass, the big play, And then the 12-yard run by Teddy James set up the only score of the ball game thus far, 7-0. And it may stay as a low-scoring ball game, Mike.
Well, I think that's kind of what people expected. Both these teams are basically run-oriented, so the passing we've seen here in the first half a little bit surprising. But it's settling down into a good defensive ball game. Both defenses showing some excellent things at time. And outside of that first opening drive, Larry, it's just been the nose-to-nose football.
Lewis and Finley to the left side, looks to be Owens to the right side. Hood pumps once, pumps twice, steps away from one defender. Now on the run, throwing back across the field, has it complete for a big gain across the 40. Derek Owens almost gets away, but Kaylor Daly, the man who hung on, a case of Hood almost being dropped, scrambled, reached into the magic hat and pulled out the rabbit, and it happened to be Derek Owens.
That was just a tremendous play that time. It looked like he was going to be sacked deep, but he gives some credit to some good offensive linemen able to keep Dixie at bay, and then the quarterback looking around and finally spotting Owens, who again did a good job moving from the outside in the center of the field to haul in that pass.
Big gain, 18-yarder. It's first and 10 at the 49-yard line of the Golden Norseman. Pitch to the tailback. LaShawn Johnson has some running room into Dixie territory, down inside the 45. Inches inside the 45. Naomi Mossy on the tackle. Chuck Porter also on the tackle. All of the ball players, offensively and defensively, jumped up from that football and moved away quickly. It's almost as if it was ticking.
Yeah, they want to make sure they get back in that huddle, I guess, and get things spread up. I think the adrenaline is really starting to flow now that the teams have felt each other out. They realize that, you know, we're pretty evenly matched. Let's just play hard-nosed football.
Second down, about 4 yards to go. Put it at the Dixie 45. Pitch goes back to LaShawn Johnson, trying to turn the corner. Almost did. Sean Dunn grabs him. Gain of a yard, maybe two on the play. As Sean Dunn, having the saving tackle that time, make it third down. Gain of about a yard on the play. Make it third down and 3 yards to go at the 44-yard line of Dixie. Put it at the Dixie 44, just inside. So it's a short 3 yards coming up for NEO and moving the football well. 12:22 left in the first half. Still 7-0 Dixie. A 12-yard touchdown run by Teddy James. The difference right now, Dixie's running game really has not come to the forefront against NEO. You have to look to the defense. Is that reason? The pass to the left side, right through the arms of Dennis Ross. And right there with him was Chuck Porter. Ross had it in his arms about near the first down territory, couldn't hang on.
I think Ross heard a few footsteps that time as he was turning back to look for the ball. Of course, the man coming up was very, very close. I think he just did not concentrate long enough to haul that one in. The ball went skipped right through his arm. Should have caught it.
Punting situation. Jace Seals gets away of low driving punt, taken on the run at the 20-yard line and only to the 21 by Dixie. Gain of 1 yard is grabbing it was Tony Tolaono, and Tolaono has one punt return for a touchdown this year, got maybe a half yard at best.
That was a little scary catch that time. I thought he might be willing to drop back and let it hit the ground, but he caught it on the run, and he no more than caught that, and he picked up the arms of the three of the Golden Norsemen, and of course he fumbled down, but he had good hands, held on to it, was tackled hard, but Dixie will take it on their 21.
Gain of from the 20 to the 21-yard line. Tolaono, a 1 yard gain, and that's being generous. First down and 10, 12:02 left in the first half of play at the Dixie 21. And off to the tailback. Looks to be Zed Robinson, the new man in there. Robinson down near the 22-yard line. NEO came up with the football. They thought that they had stripped it away from Robinson. And I think there's a little anxiety down there. Nope, jumping in there was Willie Allen. He looked like he had picked the pocket of Zed Robinson, but did not.
Apparently, the referee's ruling that the ball was knocked free after the play was blown dead. That was a very, very quick whistle. However, James was met immediately as he went through the line and was hit the ground hard. The ball popped loose.
About a half-yard gain, maybe a little bit more. Second down and a long nine coming up. Zed Robinson, the other tailback, a walk-on from Las Vegas, Nevada, actually walked on the baseball team and also decided to walk on in football. Back to pass. Tyler DeHart gets a block from Robinson. Pass is incomplete, intended for Wilson Kavaka. Back there with Kavaka was number seven, Jason Stubbs. Stubbs, as soon as Kavaka had his hands on the football, it was like an overcoat for Stubbs. He was right there buffing him from behind and knocked the pass away.
And rolled him clear out of bounds. He ended up almost out on the track around the outside of the field. The defense of NEO, you get the feeling they're really stiffening, and they're just not allowing Dixie the time. In the very beginning of the ballgame, I think they were surprised by the passing. Now they've made some adjustments, and DeHart is not having the time in the backfield.
Maybe slightly smaller than Dixie defensively, but all very quick. possibly the quickest defense that Dixie has run into this year, although Ricks College had an excellent defense, too. Back to pass, Tyler DeHart throwing deep to the left side. Terry Weekly, is it intercepted? No, it looked like it was grabbed off by Northeastern Oklahoma, but it was out of bounds. Out there with him was Walter Dupree. Dupree, the cornerback out there with Terry Weekly, and that was across midfield. So the incompleted pass sets up the fourth down. Fourth down and 9 coming up at the Dixie 22-yard line, just short of. And back to do the booting will be Bill Hansen, 11-10 left in the first half of play. Still 7-0 Dixie. That opening drive by the Rebels, the difference in the ballgame right now. Otherwise, it's defense. High snap. Hansen brings it down low. End-over-end kick will get a roll. Will be picked up at the 43-yard line by the Golden Norseman. Northeastern Oklahoma running. Will he get away? No. Fumble of the football. Number 33, Tony Levy, fumbled the football. Took it at the 41, went all the way back to the 31, and then coughed up the football right into the arms of Dixie. And coming up is Tony Tolono with the football. Amazing. That's the fourth turnover by NEO.
I think we're going to have to give some credit, Larry, to the Dixie defense, because most of these fumbles are not just being caused by mishandling the ball outside of maybe one on a pitch back. They're being caused by just good, solid hits by the Dixie defense. That time he was really rocked. The ball popped straight forward again right in the hands of Tolono.
Tolono with the football, and suddenly the NEO defense is out on the field once again. It ended up at the Dixie, or at the NEO 32-yard line. First down and 10. At the NEO 32-yard line. 10:54 left in the first half. Dixie with another chance to capitalize. Fakes the handoff twice, throwing deep to the outside. There's Kendall Smith all alone at the 5-yard line. Pushed out of bounds at the 2. Saving play by Cleveland Phillips of Northeastern Oklahoma.
Isn't it how these things always work out? Two teams touted as very tough defensively and good running teams. We've seen the first score by Dixie on a pass, and now Dixie knocking on the door via the pass once again.
10:47 left in the first half. It's first down and goal to go at the Northeastern Oklahoma 3-yard line. Correction, they're going to say the 1-yard line, that he actually leaned forward enough to get it to the 1. Nope, moving back to the 1.5-yard line. First and goal to go for Dixie. Golden opportunity. Do you give it to Wilson Kavaka? Do you keep it at the quarterback? Tough defense by NEO. This will be the challenge. Hand off to Kavaka. Kavaka is going to be upended. Gain of 0.5 yard. Kavaka, and that is not an easy duty to upend Kavaka, but getting him down low is number 25, Kevin Keith. He just took his feet out from under him.
And that's one way, about the only way you can stop Kavaka, who is an excellent runner who keeps the legs turning all the time. As you mentioned, that time he was simply knocked out from underneath him, and I'm not sure, Larry, about the first time on the home games that I've been able to see if that's Kavaka's been stopped with less than a yard gain on a short down like that.
I don't think he's ever taken his feet off the ground unwillingly. That's the first time I've seen that, so you know how tough NEO's defense is. Down to about the 0.5-yard line. Dixie, second down, goal to go, trying to get the second score of the day, trying to convert on a fumble on the playoff, on a punt. The keeper by Tyler DeHart. Is it signaled? Yes. The official in the backfield is signaling touchdown, and apparently it is. Tyler DeHart, the one official who did not have the angle, was signaling the touchdown, but nobody's overruled him. So apparently it is. Tyler DeHart, 0.5-yard gain for the touchdown. Make it 13-0, Dixie. And ready for the point after. Bill Hansen to do the booting. 13-0, Dixie. As Tyler DeHart gets the touchdown. And finally, on the fourth turnover of the day for Northeastern Oklahoma, it finally cost them. At the 10-yard line, the snap, the kick is up. Is it good? No, it fades to the left. And Bill Hansen, no question, is in a foot slump right now. 9:58 left in the first half of play. Dixie with a 13-0 lead, back in 60 seconds.
If you're ready to buy a Macintosh computer from Alpine Computing, you couldn't have picked a better time to do it. Between now and December 31st, Apple is offering cash allowances when you buy qualifying systems. You can use the rebate to get from $150 to $300 back on select Apple add-ons. And if you use Apple Credit, you can defer payments with no finance charges until February. Some restrictions apply. See Alpine Computing, your Apple-authorized dealer, for details. Remember, Southern Utah Computer.
Taking the lead, Greg Groshaw is not too pleased with his kicker right now for Dixie College. 9:58 left in the first half. Hansen, short kick, will come down and will be taken at the 23-yard line by NEO, brought back up the field. Number 22, the man Jerry Biggers, on the return across the 30, down near the market near the 33-yard line. So from about the 22, or 23, from the NEO 23 to near the 33. 10-yard return by Biggers, and it'll be first down and 10 for Northeastern Oklahoma. Now down by two touchdowns. Mike, the turnover is finally cost them.
Yeah, they finally caught up with them, Larry, too. This is a very important drive right now for NEO. Number one, of course, they need to get some points on the board. Number two, the offense needs to spend some time on the field to allow the defense to get some rest.
Hit the left side, Tim Lewis. Two receivers to the right side and split the running backs. Behind quarterback Jackie Hood. Hood out, rolling to the left, pumping twice, and there's his man complete down the sidelines, finally stepping out of bounds at the 30-yard line. Number 16, Tim Lewis. A lot of people were wondering why he stepped out of bounds. I think it was just a case of him being off balance and realizing that he couldn't stay in bounds.
Yeah, he was trying hard that time. Lewis did an excellent job. He made one fake to the inside, and then both of the defenders went for it. And then he turned back to the outside. The ball, again, perfectly thrown by the quarterback. He hauled it in and tried to tiptoe down the sideline, and finally just fell out of bounds.
From the NEO 33-yard line, 37-yard gain down to the Dixie 30-yard line on that pass reception. Jackie Hood has been throwing the ball well. First down and 10 in Dixie territory. Here comes Northeastern Oklahoma again. Hand off to the fullback, Tyrone Rogers. Rogers with a good gain of at least three and looks like 4 yards down to the 26-yard line. Angled to the right as he went beyond the center. And Tyrone Rogers moving the football. Mike, there is no question this is one of the finest teams that Dixie has faced this year. And I'm not sure what Northeastern Oklahoma is thinking about Dixie, but it's one of the few times they've been behind this year.
That's right. This, of course, that's the whole thing about postseason play when you get two teams ranked as high as you do with the fourth and sixth ranked teams in the nation. And it's always interesting because these two teams have never met each other, and the only thing they know about each other is what they see on the film. So it's kind of a, you know, trial and error type thing.
Second down, about 6.5 yards to go. Short seven, long six. Quarterback Jackie Hood, quick look-in pass intended for number 16, Tim Lewis. Lewis was right there. And just let him. That's one of the few bad passes we've seen Jackie Hood throw today.
I was going to say, yeah, that time it's one of the few that he had a little offline as the pass, the man was wide open, as you mentioned, out on the left flat for a good gain of about 5 or 6 yards, but just let him a little bit too far.
Second down, about 6.5 yards to go again. Some of the bands now leave, one of the bands, I think that's a Davis High School band from in the Kaysville area north of Salt Lake City between Salt Lake and Ogden. There were six bands that came in from all around the western United States for a big marching band competition. Back to pass is Hood. He's going to be sacked. Putting the pressure on. From the outside was Shane Brandon along with Nainumi Mossy, and it set it up for Stacy Monroe to knife through and get Hood. Hood at the 35-yard line. Big loss of 9 yards on the play. With 8:42 left, Hood was sacked by, put it back to the 35 from the 26-yard line, and Stacy Monroe. Fourth down coming up. Short kick, and it's a fake punt to the right side. Trying to get it is number 29, Eldorado Cochran, and he didn't get there. A flag on the play. Cochran got to the 27-yard line, 28-yard line, on the fake punt on the fourth down. Fake punt, but there is a flag on the play. Is it against Northeastern Oklahoma or against Dixie? That's the question.
I think it's going to be a hold against NEO. There's the indication. It's going to be refused, however, by Dixie as they will take over the football.
So on the carry by Cochran, Eldorado Cochran gets from the 35 down to the Dixie 28-yard line with 8:23 left in the first half of play. The fake punt, and Northeastern Oklahoma trying to shake things up right now, trailing 13-0. Dixie will take over. Actually, at about their own 27-yard line, so a bigger game than we had anticipated from Cochran. Cochran, the freshman fullback, can move with the football. First down and 10 for the Rebels. Split the running back. Behind quarterback Tyler DeHart in motion is Wilson Kavaka. A jump at the defensive line. Pitch goes to the outside. Zed Robinson, maybe a yard gain, but there's a flag on the play. A late flag. That almost bodes that it's Dixie's penalty when it's that point. And it's a hold coming up against Dixie. So from the Dixie 27-yard line, Northeastern Oklahoma, do you want to give up the yard and give up the down at the same time? Gordon Jolly, the assistant coach for Dixie, and the offensive line coach, offensive coach. Yes, the hold will be called against Dixie, so march it off. Let's see where they march it back to the 17-yard line. So the hold was right at the line of scrimmage. First down and 20 yards to go. Gordon Jolly is the offensive line coach and offensive coach, really, coordinator for Dixie College, former offensive lineman for the Detroit Lions and later with the Seattle Seahawks, a starter with the Lions in the Bill Munson quarterback year. Jolly, with his arms outstretched, pleading with his lineman, as if to say, why hold? Back to pass, no. The draw play goes to Wilson Kavaka, eludes the first wave of tacklers, gets to the 20-yard line, back to the 24-yard line, or 23-yard line, and that's more the Wilson Kavaka we expected.
That's exactly what we were saying before when he got his feet knocked out from underneath him. That does not happen very often. That time, Kavaka showed why he is such a tough runner, as he just keeps the legs churning and keeps that head down and lowered, and he picked up a good 5 or 6 yards of his, you know, on good second effort.
Second down, about 14 yards to go, just across the Dixie 23-yard line, almost to the 24-yard line. Second down, about 14 to go for the Rebels. 7:45 left in the half. Dixie now with a 2-touchdown cushion. We've got to breathe only slightly easier against northeastern Oklahoma. Jumping again at the line of scrimmage, flags. Handoff goes to Zed Robinson. Robinson has it across the 27-yard line. But Dixie, something's happening at the snap down there, because northeastern Oklahoma is anticipating the snap and jumping early.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it's just a plain anticipation by them, or perhaps it's something that quarterback DeHart's using in his cadence. But he is really mixing things up, because they have been called offsides about 3 times, and 4 or 5 other times beside that they've been jumping around. So the defense a little bit off key right now, not being able to get a good jump off the ball.
Put it just across the Dixie 28-yard line now, and second down, about 8.5, almost 9 yards to go after the 5-yard penalty against northeastern Oklahoma. NEO, if they lose, would threaten to finish as low as they have in the 80s. Surely they would not drop out of the top 10 in the final poll. Hand off would go to Zed Robinson, loss on the play. If Dixie loses, more of a chance of Dixie dropping out of the top 10 than NEO. The reputation is there for NEO, and deservedly so. Loss of about a 0.5 yard on the play, so virtually no gain. Make it a straight on 9 yards, third down and 9. Zed Robinson was stacked up by northeastern Oklahoma. NEO, the defensive line playing very well. 6:54 left in the first half of play. There will be a long halftime, and we'll be visiting with the Grand Marshal of the parade and the speaker at last night's banquet, former Dallas Cowboy quarterback Danny White. We'll be speaking with him at halftime. Pitch goes to the tailback. That's Teddy James trying to turn upfield. James gets across the 30. Maybe up to the 32-yard line. How he got that last 2 yards, I'll never know. There on the tackle is number 12, Cleveland Phillips, along with Johnny McKee. McKee, big defensive tackle, a mere 275 pounds stuck on a 6'2" frame. And McKee is quick, too.
That's what makes the players of today so exciting, Larry. They're a lot bigger, but yet they're so much quicker as well. And we're seeing these players even down in the junior college ranks, who are tremendous athletes.
At the 32-yard line, fourth down, about 5.5 yards to go. Punting situation, Bill Hansen. We'll boot it high. This was the danger last time, and get a Dixie bounce inside the 35. It'll go inside the 30, turn up field, and will die at about the 25-yard line. You couldn't place it any better if you were to say, hey, I want to kick it from there and put it right on the 25-yard line. There it is.
He kicked it, as you mentioned, low, so it got a bounce, hard to handle by NEO, and also he kicked it away from them off to the sidelines. You mentioned couldn't have called it any better. I don't know if he was actually trying for that exact spot, but he did the job nonetheless.
First down and 10 at the NEO 25-yard line, and the Golden Norseman with another shot. 5:55 left in the first half of play, 13-0 Dixie out in front. The opening drive, and then converting on a fumble on a punt return, as Tony Levy ended up going in the wrong direction and then lost the football to add the insult to injury. I formation on the running backs, Jackie Hood. Do you stay on the ground? Yes. Handoff goes, no, fake the handoff. Hood, excellent execution on the run at the 25-yard line. Hood coming to the 35-yard line will have the first down. He bounced out of bounds there by Sean Dunn. No flags on the play. All of the Dixie fans would, because Dunn hit him right at the sideline.
Yeah, and you heard a little bit of complaining from across the field there from the NEO fans as well. That was a late hit. However, I think the referees ruled that the momentum is what carried him into the player, and it was not an intentional thing.
36-yard line. No, right at the 35. They say he stepped out of bounds. It should be first down and 10 again. So Jackie Hood, under pressure. Oh, correction. Okay, let's mark that again. They had marked it along the sidelines at the 26, not at the 25, although the football landed at the 25. Apparently, it was touched a yard upfield, so it'll be second and 1 at the 35 and needs to get to the 36-yard line. Got faked out on that one. Back to pass? No, the draw play. No, it isn't. It is the pass. Over the middle, deflected, almost intercepted. Stacey Monroe had the hand up there. It was intended for Derek Owens. Beautiful execution by Jackie Hood. It looked like he had the draw play to LaShawn Johnson, and suddenly Hood still had the football.
Just a well-concealed play that time. As you mentioned, he faked a drop back and then had time to look downfield, but it was Stacey Monroe who wasn't faked out, as perhaps we were, and got a hand on the ball to tip it away from the intended receiver.
The intended receiver was Derek Owens. went sailing over his head and almost picked off by Sean Dunn. Third down, one at the NEO 35-yard line. Draw play this time, and LaShawn Johnson has some running room. Across the 50-yard line, at the 40, it's going to be off to the races. NEO's going to get its first touchdown. Shade Kater-Daly made one last effort, but it's going to be the big one, LaShawn Johnson. And the Dixie fans, what few of them are, will give applause at this point to NEO. There's still a little bit of... Now they're back in the ball game with the Dixie fans.
Just a tremendous run that time as he took the handoff, moved inside, got one good block about 5 yards deep into the backfield, and then cut to the near sidelines. And as you mentioned, it was off to the races, and there was really no contest. He raced down the near sideline. Just an excellent yard, 65-yard TD run.
The NEO team is having some problems. They wanted a timeout to get their... their kickoff team on there. Do you go for two or do you go for one? I guess that's the question right now. Trying to get the all the appropriate ball players on there. We're not going to take a timeout, or will we? Let's just keep it right here rather than take the timeout, because we'll have a timeout effort a little bit later. 5:29 left in the first half of play. It is now 13-6. Dixie over northeastern Oklahoma, and LaShawn Johnson, the 65-yard run. He was off to the races. Kater Daly was gaining ground on him, but just couldn't quite get there.
Yeah, he did have the angle coming from the far side of the field, but excellent speed that time shown by Johnson. And very interesting how one play can really turn the tide of a game. And this game is a whole different setup now with a 13-6 score, and I'm sure they're going to decide now, well, they're going to set down. They're going to go for one, so they figure they can get one TD and the point after down, and then go at the next one.
Guess what Coach Greg Croshaw did not want to have happen was the kicking game to be an integral part of this. Right now, two missed field goals and a missed point after could be costly to Dixie before this game is over.
Well, there's no doubt about that, and I think that's exactly why we mentioned earlier in the ballgame that Croshaw was very, very upset with his kicker on the sidelines talking to him. And, yeah, it could be the difference of the ballgame. Of course, we won't know that, but right now, 13-6 score.
Wild shift is a huddle on one side, and then shift to a situation where Jay Seals will be attempting the point after. The snap is right on the money. Seals puts it up. It's deflected, but it goes through anyway. And when you're kicking well, you're kicking well. Chuck Porter got a hand on it, and it still just squirmed over the top, over the crossbars, and in for the point after. Make it 13-7. Dixie out in front with 5:29 left in the half, back in 60.
At Alpine Computing, we happen to think putting a Macintosh computer on your desk is the best way for you to appreciate what it can do for your business. Announcing Apple's free trial run. Now you can take a qualifying Macintosh system back to your office free until December 31st. You'll quickly discover how the Macintosh is designed with you in mind, how it works like you do. Some restrictions apply. See Alpine Computing for details, your authorized Apple dealer. Remember, Southern Utah Computer is now Alpine Computing with locations in Richfield and St. George.
It's born of caring and promises to endure forever. Your love and an art-carved wedding ring from MacArthur Jewelers. The very first symbols of sharing together are the rings you choose. That's why at MacArthur Jewelers, we're proud to show you timeless designs in handcrafted, matching 14-karat wedding rings from Art Carved. Come in together and find the perfect pair of wedding rings for now and forever. The enduring quality of Art Carved from MacArthur Jewelers in St. George for your enduring love.
5:29 left in the first half of play. It's 13-7 now. Dixie out in front, but here comes northeastern Oklahoma. The kick by Seals is high and deep. Will be coming down into the hands, through the hands of Nate Hansen. No, he doesn't even notice it. Hansen and Tolo Ono both standing there, both looking into the sun, and Hansen let it go through the hands of Tolo Ono.
Both of them, I think, anticipated the other one to pick it up, and that was just simply a case. They both looked up at the ball, turned and looked at each other, and started to run upfield, and suddenly realized that neither one of them was getting the ball. The ball, however, fortunately for Dixie, squirted through between them without being touched and was down in the end zone.
That was one of the strangest things I've seen all year. Of course, the sun was in their eyes at that point. If you're looking from the north end of the field towards the south, the sun is just in a decent position to where it can be kind of blinding at this point. If you look up, eye formation on the running backs. First and 10 for Dixie. It's their own 20 in motion. The tight end, Engage Severson. Back to pass. DeHart complete on the look-in pass to Kendall Smith. That's the third reception of the day for Kendall Smith and some big ones. Kendall Smith having what may be his best game as a Dixie Rebel this year. First down and 10. Put it at the 33-yard line. 13-yard gain. For our KDXU listeners, we'll be making a selection of the KDXU offensive and defensive players of the game, and Kendall Smith has to be one of those candidates on the offensive player. Back to pass, tighter to Hart, having some time, throws it complete to Terry Weekly. First down again across the 45, down to the 47-yard line. So consecutive passes from a run-oriented team, and tighter to Hart getting some protection and doing a good job.
Yeah, I think what he did that first pass was an excellent thing for Dixon. They came out with a very quick pass, a three-step drop, and then fire the ball into the center of the field. And that time he was able to drop back deep, had time to look down, found his man deep, and completed that pass. The tackle was made by number 46, Dwayne Simmons, linebacker.
First down and 10 for the Rebels at their own 47-yard line. 16-yard gain that time for Kendall Smith. Three receptions. He has 86 yards gained thus far. 13-7. Dixie with the lead. Slant the running backs. Tighter to Hart. Say, move a little bit to the right now. Now come up close to me. We're ready for the snap. One set back. Now to Hart. Under pressure. Throws the pass intended for Teddy James. And almost an intentional grounding. James luckily cut back towards the pass. Under pressure there from Dwayne Simmons. Simmons right in the lap of Tyler DeHart, along with Johnny McKee right there.
Dwayne Simmons doing an excellent job. He was the man who made the tackle downfield a few moments ago on the reception. This time he was the linebacker who got through and caused the quick pass by the Dixie defense, or the Dixie offense.
Second down, 10 yards to go at the Dixie 47-yard line. Tyler DeHart, whose brother is a co-captain on the defensive side, linebacker Thad DeHart. We haven't called his number that much today. Sophomore brother, freshman quarterback. Fake the handoff, tighter to Hart on the keeper. Shouldn't have. Right there was number 25, Kevin Keith. Keith broke through and a loss on the play. Keith in there, Johnny McKee in there again, and also in there, number 56, Chuck Smith. Need I say more? When you add Chuck Smith on top of those two, you don't go anyplace.
I'm not sure if that was an intended keeper. Perhaps it was, but it looks like he actually bumped into his tight end, N.G. Steverson, who was on the in motion that time, moving from the right side back in the middle of the field, and he bumped into his quarterback, and that allowed the defense, who was there already, to hold him for absolutely no gain.
After a consecutive first down situation, the loss is ruled back to the 45-yard line. It's now third down and 12 yards to go. Northeastern Oklahoma getting some cheering. There are some fans that made the trip out here, including the cheerleaders for NEO. Back to pass, tighter to Hart. Under pressure, pumps once, pumps twice. Throwing deep to the left side. It's short, almost intercepted. Right into and out of the hands of Dwayne Simmons. Dwayne Simmons, the linebacker, co-captain, had it in his hands, and couldn't hang on to it.
Actually, it almost looked like, I didn't catch the number, one of the other defenders back there had a better angle on it, and perhaps had it not been knocked away by the first man, would have been picked up. That time, DeHart just didn't get it on the ball. He had a man. Teddy James was actually down farther, about 4 or 5 yards further down the field, and was wide open.
3:35 left in the first half of play, 13-7. Dixie with the lead. The snap, Bill Hansen to put the foot to it, and this time drives it deep. Back to the 20-yard line. It'll be taken there. And down the sidelines comes number 12, Cleveland Phillips, still on his feet at the 50-yard line into Dixie territory, still on his feet inside the 35, down near the 31-yard line. So from the 20-yard line of NEO, Cleveland Phillips brings it all the way back to the Dixie 31 or 32. Let's see where they mark it. Right down the sidelines. They had the pathway set up down the sidelines. Put it at the Dixie 32.
That was well set up. And again, that's some of the problems you get with a low driving kick, because it does not allow your man to get downfield to set up any kind of, or to stop the runner. He took that on a dead run and moved quickly to the outside and had 3 to 4 of his fellow Golden Norsemen lined up along there to give him that wall. He used it extremely well, getting it all the way down to the 32-yard line.
Trying to get the sidelines marker set. The officials call an official timeout for just a moment. Suddenly, this is a different ball game. Dixie failing to capitalize on some kicking. Northeastern Oklahoma's defense putting the crunch on Dixie. And suddenly, NEO with a chance to gain the lead. Flag right at the time of the snap, and I think we may have a procedure call against NEO. Jackie Hood went back, but the whistle had already blown just at the snap. Procedure call against NEO, 5-yard penalty. There have been some mistakes by NEO today. The turnovers are surely not the norm for Northeastern Oklahoma, no question.
No question about that, especially this late in the season. They're making a few little mistakes that time. I'm not sure the number, but it looked like the tight end on the far side of the field apparently moved a little bit early drawing that whistle.
As we look at the placement along the sidelines, it's more at the 31-yard line, so they move it back to the Dixie 36 instead of the 37, not a 4-yard loss. It's a 5-yard loss. First down and 15. Back to pass, Jackie Hood. Run-oriented teams, they're throwing. Back deep, and there for the touchdown is N.E.L. Hood in the end zone to number 16, Tim Lewis. Beautiful pass. It's a tie ball game, 13-13, with 3:11 left in the game, in the first half of the game. Just a perfectly thrown pass.
A perfectly pass, but what a tremendous stretch in the end zone by Lewis as he just stretched the arms out, hauled in that pass. And as you mentioned, all of a sudden we have a 13-13 ball game. So some mistakes have hurt him, but they've come firing back. And I think now we have the ball game we all expected.
Jay Seals to do the kicking, the point after attempt. It's a 13-13 tie with 3:11 left in the game. And Coach Glenn Wolf has rallied the troops. The snap, the kick. Seals puts it up and gives the lead to the Golden Northmen. 14-13 with 3:11 left in a half. Back in 60 seconds.
Interested in saving money? Then install a True Value Matter Plumber natural gas water heater from J&J Building Supply. The 40-gallon natural gas energy-saving model is on sale right now for just $149.95 at J&J. With heavy-gauge steel, thermal glass lining, foam rock insulation, heat traps, and a vacation setting, you can expect a substantial saving each and every year with energy-saving natural gas water heater. So does it make sense? Natural gas, your best energy value. J&J Building Supply, 180 North 300 East in St. George.
Deck the halls of your garage with the all-new Honda Accord. Plus, you'll be helping contribute to a very needy cause. That's because with each new or used car sold, Heritage, in cooperation with KDXU Radio in St. George, will make a donation to Sub for Santa to help those families less fortunate have a much brighter holiday season. Tis the season to give. Come in. Let us show our appreciation by giving you a great deal on any new or used car now at Heritage Honda Suzuki, 1630 Hilton Drive.
The kick coming down. This time it will be taken definitely by Tola Ono at his own 11-yard line. Upfield, cuts to the outside, will be buried near the 22-yard line, and no question about it, N.E.O. is back and firing, Mike.
Well, there's nothing like a good little touchdown to get you back in the ballgame. That was, again, a beautiful pass. A little bit of bump and shoving going on down there as the tempers begin to flare a little bit, but the referees very quickly step in and stop it. 14-13 score, a little over 3 minutes, and again, as I said, that's just about a ballgame we all expected. And, you get a score on the board, and suddenly your defense, these men become a lot less tired.
Put it near the 23-yard line of Dixie, first down and 10. Northeastern Oklahoma now with 129 yards on passing. Unbelievable. Eight receptions for 129 yards. This is on a run-oriented team. One setback, back to pass, Tyler DeHart. DeHart is going to be sacked. No, he's going to throw the pass complete to Teddy James at the 35, across the 45. In the NFL, he would have been down. There was a man wrapped around his ankle. Tyler DeHart did a pirouette and threw the pass without stepping. He just threw it with the strength of his arm and got the pass to Teddy James. First and 10 for Dixie at the 48-yard line of Dixie.
We're just seeing some tremendous things happen in this football game. You mentioned a tremendous pass by N.E.O. just a moment ago. That time, DeHart, as you mentioned, he did not have his leg into it at all. That was all upper body strength, and he nailed that pass right on the James, and a big break, really, for Dixie to get out of that was possible as a loss.
Northeastern Oklahoma with a good defensive play to prevent the touchdown. Mouthpiece suddenly dropped by Tyler DeHart. First and 10 at the Dixie 48-yard line. Draw play to Wilson Kavaka. Kavaka pushes it into NEO territory. And after a first half, the Dixie spent much of it on the downhill side of the field. This half, Dixie has spent almost the entire half on their own side of the field in Northeastern Oklahoma with the two scores.
Yeah, Dixie kind of owned the first one. NEO has owned this one. And it's just a good, hard-nosed football game we're seeing here this afternoon. And we're seeing some great plays. But again, we go back to the fact that these two teams have been so great during the 1980s. This is what you have to expect.
Inside the, actually, from a just inside the 49-yard line of NEO, it'll be second down and 7 yards, a long seven, back to pass to Hart. But there's a flag on the play. He throws it out of bounds. There is a flag on the play, as it is, the pass was intended out there for Teddy James. I saw the flag immediately, and it's going to be against N.E.O.
It's going to be an offsides on the defense, a little bit surprising. Apparently, again, jumping around just a little bit, and again, either the cadence or just anticipation by NEO has cost them a couple yards once again.
There's no question about it. For the Golden Norsemen, their defense always has its engine running. They're ready.
Yeah, I don't think they have an idle or a neutral in their position because they've really been coming at Dixie all afternoon.
But it is just about the NEO 44-yard line. It'll be second down, about 3 yards to go. Second and about three, a long three coming up for Dixie College in northeastern Oklahoma Territory. Some substitutions coming in defensively. Wide receivers each side for Dixie. With the running backs now, Zed Robinson back in as a running back. Pass over the middle to the tight end, Blake Hart. Blake Hart. Enough for the first down? Yes, at the 40-yard line. Tyler DeHart to Blake Hart. Hart, a running back at the first of the year, has been splitting duty as running back and tight end. Good blocker. Put it at the 40-yard line. So Dixie trying to come back and get the lead. First down and 10. For 133 yards passing for Dixie right now. 6 yards that time. So the two run-oriented teams have been successful passing. Slant the running backs behind quarterback Tyler DeHart. He looks back briefly. Long count at the line of scrimmage. Here comes the pressure. DeHart shapes up over the middle. Has his man out there. Is it going to be intercepted? Juggled and caught. Touchdown. Kendall Smith, amazing reception as it was over his head into the arms of Walter Dupree. He batted it up in the air and caught it before it hit the ground in the end zone.
Well, I'm running out of words and superlatives, Larry, to talk about the tremendous plays we're seeing here in this ball game, and that's exactly what happened. That was just concentration on the part of the receiver, Smith, as he had the ball, as you mentioned, knocked out of his hands, knocked out by the defense. He still had the presence of mind to turn, look where the ball was, and then grab it as he was falling and right into the end zone, 6 more points.
Greg Crowshaw to consult with Gordon Jolly now, and after the problems they've had with the kicking game, you have to look for the two-point conversion. I'm sure that's what he wants to discuss right now. Do we send him out there again, Bill Hanson, who has had a real tough day?
Yeah, you really have to think that. Of course, you might think, well, he's had his tough problems. Maybe he'll kick out of that. But I think they're really discussing things right now. They're only up by 5 points, and 19-14, 2 points would give them that 7-point margin, which they need to hold off, you know, another possible touchdown. So that's the brain trust going on right now. And I would almost have to guess they look for a 2-point attempt.
Tyler DeHart has had 8 receptions today, 8 completions for 173 yards. By far and away, his best day is in his career here at Dixie. First year, his freshman year, and Tyler DeHart throwing the ball very well, but Kendall Smith is the man that turned that one into the touchdown.
Yeah, that was all a receiver. I mean, well, you guess someone has to throw the ball out there for him to get up to, but that was Smith doing an excellent job. And if you're going to have a career day, Larry, why not make it a bowl game between two nationally ranked teams and let some people see who you are and how you can play?
I think this is appropriate in a lot of ways. The Grand Marshal of the parade, the speaker last night, Danny White, former quarterback. And here you have two run-oriented teams. And who are the stars? Tyler DeHart and Jackie Hood and the receivers so far. Although we've had some good runs, but the running games have been slowed compared to what the passing games have been.
Outside of one long run, of course, we had a 65-yard touchdown run by NEO, so we cannot discount the running game altogether. But, yeah, it's been basically a pass-oriented ball game and a lot of excitement for the fans.
Let's see if that's correct. 14 yards for, for Dixie, only 37 yards rushing today. And that is not normal. Pitch goes to the tailback. Will the two-point conversion get in? Yes, that's Teddy James. He has it. Make it a 21-14 lead with a minute 18 left and a half. Dixie out in front again. Back in 60 seconds.
This season, take advantage of holiday prices on Fort O'Brien's best quality paints at Jones Paint and Glass. Right now, you can get great savings when you use indoors the Fort O'Brien Liquid Velvet Latex Flat Wall Paint, just $15.99 a gallon. Liquid Luster Latex Eggshell Enamel, $15.99 a gallon. Or Full Flow Latex Semi-Gloss Enamel, $15.99 a gallon at Jones Paint and Glass. On East Tabernacle. It's Subway Sandwich Anniversary Time in St. George and Cedar City, and you can celebrate with them as they offer a great special Friday and Saturday only. Buy one regular footlong and get a second for just 99 cents. Now, the Hurricane Subway Sandwich Shop is celebrating its grand opening, and there you can buy a regular footlong sandwich and get one free. No coupon needed. So celebrate with Subway and get a delicious footlong sandwich of your choice. Subway Sandwiches, 2 in St. George, also located in Cedar City and in Hurricane. All right.
21-14, Dixie with the lead. With a minute 18 before we get to the half, the Rebels and the Golden Northmen battling at Hanson Stadium. To do the kicking is Bill Hanson. This one is sailing deep and will be taken at the 11-yard line by Northeastern Oklahoma. Trying to jog to the outside, trying to get some running room, looks to be number 46. No, correction, number 16, Tim Lewis. And Lewis took it at his own 11-yard line, brings it back to near the, let's see where they mark that down, around the 24, almost to the 25-yard line. So Tim Lewis, who had the touchdown pass reception that set up the go-ahead point after, trying to get some running room, got a little that time.
Well, apparently some talks by head coach Greg Croshaw to his kicker, Hanson, worked, or at least it looked like it did that time. That's probably the best kick that he's had so far. Got it high, got the ball to turn over, allowed his teammates to get down there and apply some pressure.
Put it at the Northeastern Oklahoma 25-yard line. NEO has the football trailing by 7, 21-14, and suddenly a second quarter is opened wide up. Two receivers left, one right, rolling to the left and passing as Jackie Hood throws the screen pass, has a complete to LaShawn Johnson as he tried to make the turn to head upfield. He slipped and went down. And landing on top of him was Cater Daly. So LaShawn Johnson, gain of about 3 yards on the play. Timeout by Northeastern Oklahoma, is it? The officials signal a timeout, 55 seconds left in the half, 21-14, Dixie out in front, 60-second break, and we'll be right back.
If you're a Dixie Rebel fan and a Sun Capital Bank customer, the bank thanks you. If you've not yet experienced Sun Capital Bank's personalized service, you now have our warm invitation to do so. Visit either of our two convenient locations for all of your financial needs, high-interest savings, interest-bearing checking, speedy loan service, and much, much more. We all know the Dixie Rebels are winners. At Sun Capital Bank, you'll discover you're number one with us. Member FDIC.
If you're ready to buy a Macintosh computer from Alpine Computing, you couldn't have picked a better time to do it. Between now and December 31st, Apple is offering cash allowances when you buy qualifying systems. You can use the rebate to get from 100
seconds left in the first half of play, 21-14. Dixie out in front of Northeastern Oklahoma, and here comes the NEO again. Enough time to do something, you better believe it. The last one was the explosive 65-yard run by LaShawn Johnson. Back to pass, Jackie Wood under pressure, throws, has it incomplete, into and out of the hands. Looked like Tim Lewis again out there near the 43-yard line. Dixie had some coverage out there. After making that great catch on the touchdown, it's hard to believe he can drop one.
Yeah, that's on a little bit easier for him. Give some credit also to number 73, Dave Walsh, as he was, I believe that's Dave Walsh in there, who was applying some pressure that time in the fourth. Maybe to throw it a little bit early and maybe a little bit shy. But as you mentioned, 49 seconds is plenty enough time. It only takes one pass and one good run to get right back in it.
Third down, 8 yards to go, a short 7.5. Let's check and see who is the receiver. It looks to be Tim Lewis again. This time Lewis did receive it. Put it at the 43-yard line. Correction, 43, not the 42-yard line. First down and 10 for Northeastern Oklahoma. Clock running with 32 seconds left. Hood rolling to the left, has the short pass, has it complete near the 47-yard line. Keep the clock running. Yes, it was complete to number 22 coming out of the backfield, Jerry Biggers. There on the tackle, Stacy Monroe, along with Thad DeHart, Tider's older brother. Put it at the 48-yard line with 13 seconds left in the first half of play. At the 48-yard line. Second down, or 47-yard line. Second down, about 6 yards to go. Back to pass, Jackie Hood. 3 seconds left. Hood slips, goes down, balances himself, throws the pass incomplete. Dave Walsh right there, and they throw the flag. Let's see if it's going to be roughing the passer or intentional grounding. Intentional grounding. Intentional grounding. They're going to have to wave everybody off the field. And that's going to be intentional grounding. Or, nope, the official now says it's going to be an inadvertent flag. So the half is going to end in kind of a stutter. First, the flag was thrown. Dixie fans said it couldn't be roughing the passer. It was a legitimate tackle. The NEO fans saying it couldn't have been intentional grounding because there was a receiver farther downfield. And the official says, couldn't have been either of those. Let's pick up the flag. That's the way the first half ends. A wild one. 21-14. Dixie out in front of Northeastern Oklahoma. We'll be talking with a couple of the dignitaries here involved with the Sunbrook Dixie Rotary Bowl and also with former Dallas Cowboy cornerback Danny White in just a few minutes. So stay tuned. Dixie 21, NEO 14, back in 90 seconds. Back at Hanson Stadium, where Dixie has come from behind after Northeastern Oklahoma came from behind to take a 14-13 lead. Dixie came right back and got the 21-14 lead at the half. And an amazing performance by two ball clubs thus far. We have with us Danny White, former Cowboy with our Dallas Cowboy, a quarterback who is now, I guess, successful businessman and retired and not taking the bumps and bruises anymore, right?
Well, taking the bumps and bruises of the real world, I guess, more than on the football field. But it's been great. I've been enjoying it.
Well, welcome to St. George, Utah, as the speaker last night. And here, two run-oriented teams, I guess, in honor of the quarterback, have thrown the ball today.
Well, it's always good to see teams that can throw the ball. I think it adds a great deal to the game, and I'd like to see more of it done in college football. And it's an exciting game today. You know, the only difference really is the turnovers, and the Rebels have been able to get four or five turnovers this half, and that's really the reason that they're leading the game. Other than that, I think it's been a really well-played game on both sides.
You brought your wife with you, JoLynn, and welcome to St. George also, JoLynn.
Thank you very much.
Is it nice to have Danny away from the football pads now?
It feels good. If I'd known it was going to feel this good, I would have pushed for it a lot sooner, I think.
That's true. The bruises after a Sunday on the turf, that must have been tough.
Well, it's part of the game, but you get used to it like anything else, I guess. That was certainly not the toughest part of the game, though. I enjoyed the physical part of the game and playing the game. The part that was tough for me really was all the kind of things you had to put up with off the field, and I kind of wish everybody would have just left us alone and let us play football. And unfortunately, football has become big business, and as a result, there are a lot of obligations off the field that you have to take care of, and that's really the way, as far as I'm concerned, what we were paid for was to take care of business off the field. And playing the game was fun.
You did that for nothing.
I'd have done that for nothing, sure.
Let's talk a little bit about your career. You grew up in a football family, didn't you?
Well, my dad played football, was very athletic and very competitive, and so there was constantly a lot of competition around the house. He played for Arizona State and for the Chicago Bears. So from the day I was born, there was always something competitive going on around the house.
How did he get the nickname Wizard, just like the Supreme Court Justice? There were suddenly two Wizard Whites wandering around.
Well, initially, he was given the nickname, believe it or not, when he was in grade school or junior high school. He was introduced at a school performance as the Wizard of the Harmonica. He always played the harmonica growing up, and I guess the name stuck, and it went from Wizard to Wizard. And that's always stuck. In fact, more people know him today as Wizard White than they do by his real name.
Does he have to be introduced as the other Wizard, or is the Supreme Court Justice the other Wizard?
Well, I guess it depends on who you're talking to. Dad was much better known as a football player. He played for 5 years for the Bears. Of course, Byron Wizard White, the Supreme Court Justice, really didn't have much of a professional football career. He played very briefly for the Pittsburgh Steelers, but has obviously become very well known as a Supreme Court Justice. So it just depends on where you are and who you're talking to as to which one is better known.
You've gone from the situation of being Danny Wizard's son to being Danny and your dad being Danny's father, Wizard, right?
Well, he complains about that from time to time, but I don't know. There's still a lot of people in Arizona. In fact, I was back there just a few weeks ago and talked with Ed Doherty, who was Dad's coach, and he still believes that he was one of the finest football players ever to play college football. So, again, it depends on who you talk to and really what kind of age bracket you're dealing with, because there are a lot of people in Arizona who are stalwarts of the game who still believe that Dad could have held his own against anybody.
Now, for you, you followed in his footsteps, first to Arizona State, then to the pros, and did extremely well. A lot of people would say, hey, Danny White's one of the best college football players and professionals ever.
Well, I guess they would. That's not for me to decide, really. I just played the game because I enjoyed playing and competing, and you know, you leave that kind of stuff up to the critics and you guys in the media. You know, it will always all determine really how we're remembered. But I've always been grateful for the opportunity that I had to do something that I enjoyed doing and be able to make a living doing it. and then really more than anything else to be able to play a small part in people's lives and be able to affect that, and it's something that I'll always be grateful for and always remember.
Now, you had a choice, baseball or football, I believe. You played baseball at Arizona State, too. Do you ever regret that?
No, I don't. In fact, I'm grateful to the baseball coach at Arizona State for turning me into a football player. He wasn't real crazy about a guy playing two sports, and I always wanted to continue to play two sports. I played four sports in high school and really didn't feel like it was a detriment to either one. So I continued to play football, and really as a result of my college teammates, more than anything else, I realized that I had a chance to be a successful football player because I was in college on a baseball scholarship and just really tried out for the football team as a defensive back and a punter. And through some very strange turns of events, I ended up being the starting quarterback my sophomore year. And fortunately, we had a good enough team that they could overcome my inexperience. And we went on to lead the nation that year in offense and scoring. And once I experienced that thrill of playing major college football, baseball just didn't quite hold the excitement for me, the football did.
This transition from Arizona State to the Dallas Cowboys took a little U-turn there for a bit. I guess a fledgling pro football league turned before you got to the Dallas Cowboys. What was the experience like there?
It was a good experience. I had an opportunity in Memphis in the World Football League to go right into a situation where I was playing and learning, and really the Dallas Cowboys were in a situation with Craig Morton and Roger Staubach where I was definitely going to be sitting on the bench for a few years for me. So I think the 2 years that I spent in the World Football League were very, very valuable.
Then from there to the Dallas Cowboys, how did that happen? Just the World Football League leaving Danny White?
Well, the Cowboys drafted me out of college originally, and it was just simply a matter of which to go for first, the World Football League or the National Football League. And when I did decide to go to the World Football League, the Cowboys retained my rights. So when the World Football League folded, they were the team that had the rights to me. So it was a very smooth transition. It worked out very well.
You did punting also. That must have been a little bit of a challenge to handle the quarterback duties and also punt for them.
I never considered it a challenge. I always felt that it was something that was overlooked to a great extent, especially in the National Football League. The punter is a very valuable position on a football team, and I was always one who believed that if I could do it better than somebody else, then why not do it? You know, and I did it. Of course, in high school, I kicked and played defense and did everything, and then in college, I punted. So punting was never anything that put any added pressure on me. In fact, I think really it was another way for me to contribute and help me more than anything else. And well, we continually looked for somebody that was with a good, strong leg that could come in and take over that position. And Mike Saxon finally came along and did that. And from then on, I stuck with playing quarterback and tried to concentrate on that a little bit more.
Statistically and success-wise, you were, if not the most, at least one of the most successful quarterbacks in Dallas Cowboy history. But oftentimes, at least outside of Dallas, there's a lot of, well, comparison to Roger Staubach. That must have been a little tough to deal with. Was that some of the extra stuff off the field that you got paid for?
No, not really. The only time I was ever compared to him was in interviews like this. That's never bothered me. There aren't too many guys in the world I'd rather be compared to than Roger. I think he played the game the way it was supposed to be played and set the kind of example off the field that I'd like to see more professional athletes set. So I've always had tremendous respect for Roger and not only the way that he competed on the field, but the fact that he recognized the obligations that he had off the field and handled himself in an exemplary way. And, you know, we need more Roger Staubachs in the world.
For Danny White, very successful career at Dallas. Are there some golden memories that you have, moments, games, that you say, hey, this will stay with me forever?
Well, I think every athlete has those, and I certainly do, too. Some great games that we won and some great games that we lost. And some of the lessons that I learned through some of the tough times are things that I'll always remember. And I think that probably will stick with me more than actual game experiences. Although, there was a lot of thrills along the way, and I was grateful to be able to contribute, to my teammates and their success.
Dallas Cowboys now falling on hard times, and I guess with you and Tom Landry and some of the front office people leaving, that kind of marked the transition under a new ownership. Is there some bitterness among some of the old Cowboys about what's happened with Jerry Jones?
I think there is among some of the guys who grew up in an organization that believed in treating people the right way, and that, you know, winning is important, and it's great to win, and in fact, it's critical to win. But there's a right way to win and there's a wrong way to win, and that philosophy has not carried over to the new regime. Theirs is one of, you know, we're going to win at all costs, regardless of who we have to step on along the way, and if we have to hurt some feelings, well, you know, that's too bad. And unfortunately, the Dallas Cowboy image was built on respect for people, and Tom Landry was a man who believed more or cared more about the people that he associated with and then the players as people than he did really about them as football players. You know, but it's a reflection, I think, of the game today and the fact that it has become big business and winning is critical to making money, and as a result, it's gone a little bit overboard as far as I'm concerned in the fact that they don't really care as much about the way that they win. All they care about is whether they win or not.
Danny White, congratulations on a great career, and thanks again once again for coming up to our booth here. I know there's a presentation at halftime. One thing I've got to ask, the wife of the pro football star oftentimes gets tired to be named as Mrs. Danny White for a while. I guess, were you able to find pretty well your own image in Dallas? Were the other wives supportive?
The other wives were friends of mine, and I enjoyed being with them, but my place is his wife and mother of his children, and I'm very happy being there.
How did the romance start?
A long time ago in high school, seniors in high school in Mesa, Arizona.
And from there, it just continued right on through Arizona State?
That's right. Just kept growing. We were married 3 years later and have been married 18 years this December.
I've got to ask you, what is the biggest honeydew job that you have left for Danny now?
I'm still making my list.
Okay, checking it twice.
Right.
Jolene White, thank you. Danny White, thank you for being with us. Best of luck in your new career outside of football.
Thank you. It's been great to be here with you.
Danny and Jolene White. Danny White, former Dallas Cowboy quarterback and Grand Marshal of the Sunbrook-Dixie Rotary Bowl. Let's take a 60-second break. We'll be back and recap the half and talk with a few more of the dignitaries here. 21-14, Dixie leads at the half. Back in 60.
Get the halls of your garage with the all-new Honda Accord. Plus, you'll be helping contribute to a very needy cause. That's because with each new or used car sold, Harris...
554
football teams rated very high in the nation to put on a program that is enjoyable to the crowd, and we hope life-giving examples to kids that are looking to have heroes in this area.
Doug, the selection process, when does this begin?
Selection process begins with the the records of the football teams across the country. I haven't been in really touch with the selection process myself. My capacity has been a little bit different this year than being directly responsible for that part of it. So you'd have to ask maybe Jim or one of the committee who did have that responsibility.
Let's talk about your coordination of this. So many events this year.
The committee itself has been working practically all year coordinating these things and putting it together. This band contest last night, the marching contest, is the first that brings in they had six bands lined up, and I think one had to drop out, but the participation, the show that was put on last night, people around here just don't realize the actual the expertise that goes into putting one of these things on, and the show that they put on is different than what anything that I've seen before. We've thought that, you know, that a band just marches and plays. That isn't the case. These people put on a real exciting show for the audience to watch.
Doug, congratulations to the Rotary Club and the committee for an outstanding performance. And thank you once again for a great, great year.
Things have come into place, and everything has clicked. The banquet last night, everything went just fine. There was no problems, and all the hospitality that was shown to the incoming people from Miami, Oklahoma, heard nothing but good comments from them, that we've been treated here, they have been treated here, I should say, better than any other bowl game that they've ever gone to. And we feel good about that. We're just showing some good old Dixie hospitality, and that's what we do all the time. And it comes natural to us, and they've enjoyed it, and we've enjoyed it. They have a good bunch of people.
Doug Quayle with the Rotary Club. Max Brotherson, when Sunbrook stepped in as corporate underwriter, you were involved with Sunbrook. That seemed to take already a good bowl game and just raise it another notch. Has this been fun from your side of it?
It's been terrific for us. We are just real feel proud that we could be a part of the Sunbrook Dixie Rotary Bowl. The Rotary committee has been excellent to work with. I thought last year was really a super time and a job at the Rotary Bowl did, and I didn't think we could have a better time. But this year with the convention last night and the people that came in from the visiting team and the banquet and the speakers there, I thought, as I was telling the mayor last night, I said, I think this year tops last year. And so if we can keep being a sponsor, keep being involved, keep helping as we would like to be, I feel that each year will become better.
Max, what sparked Sunbrook to get involved with the Rotary Bowl?
We had, as I had been working on our project, selling the land and getting it ready for the last some 10 years, there were some people come in from Florida last year. One was Mr. Val Purvis, who came in to look at some property, and along he brought in two consultants. One was an attorney, which is F. Lee Bailey, as you know, a famous attorney, and Mr. Tom Waldron. And they had heard about my project and what I was trying to do. They came to me, and to make a long story short, we formed a partnership. And so that's how the people from Florida come into here. And we at that time then had some association with the city of St. George because I had been working with them on different things with the development. And then they met them, and we were just contacted to be part of the Sun Bowl, and that's how it happened.
Now, as far as your development, the development in this area is still going strong?
Yes, we're about 75 to 80% complete on the golf course. We're tickled to death how it's turned out. We've had a lot of people visiting it now. We're getting ready to start marking our the lots, getting a building program going, and so we're excited. And hopefully, sometime in January, February, we'll be off and running.
Max Brotherson with the Sunbrook Organization, the corporate underwriter of the Sunbrook Dixie Rotary Bowl. Thank you for being with us. Best of luck in your development, and also with this bowl game over the future years.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Halftime score, 21-14. Dixie out in front by 7 points. Let's take a 60-second break. We'll be back with the second half of action. Back in 60.
It's Subway Sandwich Anniversary Time in St. George and Cedar City, and you can celebrate with them as they offer a great special Friday and Saturday only. Buy one regular foot.
Well, the hard hitting is what forced a couple of fumbles. It was not just losing the handle. It was the fact you just had that ball popped away from you. So it's been a good, hard-hitting first half of play, and I think that 21-14 score kind of gives an idea of what that first half was like.
Still down on the field is the Dixie ball player. Let's take this 60-second break. The halftime lead and still down is the Dixie ball player. Let's see, he's going to be helped to the sidelines now. That looks to be Griffin Reno, is the way he pronounces it. Griffin Reno, who has been a kamikaze man on the specialty teams this year for Dixie College. He's coming to the sidelines, and I'm not sure how serious it is, but he was down and being helped for quite a while. 21-14, Dixie will take over. First down and 10. Put it at their own 19-yard line. First and 10 at the Dixie 19. High formation on the running backs for Dixie. Once again, Kavaka. The tailback is Teddy James. Pitch to the outside. Kavaka throws a block. James slips as he tries to make the cut that has 7-8 yards on the play. Up across the 27, almost to the 28-yard line, Mike.
Appears to be a little bit of trouble with the footing, Larry. I know several times in the first half also was running backs or even the quarterbacks would go back to either step the foot or make a cut to turn. They lose their footing that time. James just tried to cut back in field again and lost his footing and went down.
Second down, about a yard and a half to go at the 28-yard line. So Teddy James, not really having that big game this year, or this game, Dixie, only 26. So let's double check. Dixie. And the first half, let's check the yardage. Hand off. Kavaka across the 30, has the first down, down near the 32-yard line. First half rushing yardage for Dixie was 46 yards. After some times this year that they've been dominating, 400-plus yards, most of it rushing, only 46 yards in the first half. That gives you an idea of how tough Northeastern Oklahoma's defense has been. Only 34 of those 46 yards belong to Teddy James in the first half. He's going to have a big second half if he expects to break 1,000 yards on the season. At the 32-yard line, first down and 10, back to pass, tighter to Hart. No, he isn't. From the side comes number 7, Jason Stubbs. Stubbs on the sack. And that time, there is no question about it that Tyler DeHart was not going to get that pass away.
He had no chance, and Stubbs came from the outside, circled around the defense, got around behind him, and kind of came up on the blind side of DeHart and nailed him before he could even get set and look downfield.
It was on the right side, so he had his arm pinned. There's no way this time. Earlier, Tyler DeHart was able to get away a pass, even though he was in the grasp, as they would say. Tight end is slotted to the left. Put the running backs behind quarterback DeHart. Back to the 26-yard line. Swing pass has the screen pass intended for Teddy James. There's a flag on the play, and let's see if it's against Dixie. Out there on the coverage, intended for Teddy James. Out there with him was Eric Coney. Coney coming from a defensive end position, fading out there. And we have a flag against Dixie. And what is it, Mike, holding?
The indication is holding against Dixie, and Dixie already backing up. They're standing now back around their 10-yard lines. I'm sure NEO will take that one and push Dixie even deeper back in their own territory.
So from a second down and 16, make it second down and 26 yards to go, and put it back at the 16-yard line of Dixie. So Dixie headed in reverse right now. Northeastern Oklahoma, no question about it. They have slowed down. In fact, they have virtually stopped Dixie's rushing game. Meanwhile, Dixie has put some of the clamps on the Northeastern Oklahoma rushing game, too. As in the first half, there was only 121 yards rushing, but 65 of that came into one touchdown run.
Oh, they count. They got up a TD and 6 points on the board, but I think they're playing pretty even football.
Wide receivers on each side, split the running backs, back to pass, tighter to Hart, throwing deep to the left side, has his receiver out there, Terry Weekly, complete across midfield at the 41-yard line. Weekly, stride for stride with the defensive back there, and I think that is Dupree. Let's double-check. Walter Dupree, I believe, was the man who was back there. Let's turn. Yep, it is. Number 48, Walter Dupree, and stride for stride, Dupree got his hands on the football, it looked like, but not enough.
That was almost like a, perfect defensive position. He had him on the inside. He was running stride for stride down the sideline, but just good. Excellent determination and, of course, concentration on that football by the offensive receiver to haul that in.
43-yard pass play from Tyler DeHart to Terry Weekly, and suddenly it's first down and 10 on the Northeastern Oklahoma side of the field. Northeastern Oklahoma A&M. Hand off goes to the tailback coming through. That looks to be Teddy James inside the 40 down near the 38-yard line. Stopped in there. Kevin Keith in on the tackle along with others. Let's unstack them now. Also in there. Appears to be number 33, Tony Levy. Levy, the free safety. Put it at about the 38-yard line. Gain of about 3 yards on the play. Put it at the Northeastern Oklahoma 38-yard line. Second down, about 7 yards to go. The sun's starting to fade a little bit into the west, and so it's going to get a little cool. The temperature today was kind of a nippy 60 in the lower 60s. Pass to Terry Weekly again. Weekly came back and got the pass at about the 34-yard line. Once again, it is not Dupree this time. It is number 35 out there, Steve Ford. Ford, the cornerback out there.
They're doing an excellent job. They're starting to mix things up, go to the air a little bit more. I think, again, we've talked in the first half. We were really surprised to see going to the air so much, but I think that apparently both teams have keyed their defenses to stop the run, and both teams have done a pretty good job. So now they're trying to open up with the pass, and so far both teams have done pretty well via the air as well.
You take what they give you is what they say. 21-14, Dixie with that still at halftime lead. Handoff goes to Teddy James, sidesteps. Now inside the 25, inside the 20, pushed out of bounds at the 15. Looked like he was going to be stopped at the line of scrimmage. And finally, Tony Levy had to push him out of bounds near the 15-yard line. Down is the Northeastern Oklahoma ball player. Dixie players gathering around. And this may be a case of just plain knocked out. There is no motion there.
No, he's laying very, very still. The trainers out there now working with him. That time, on the run, an excellent run. Again, he dipped the shoulder to the inside just enough to freeze the defense. Then he popped to the outside, got to the far sideline, and Levy, the last man, had a shot, and he was able to knock him out. These players are playing all out. There's no doubt about it, Larry, and I think that's the indication we're seeing with, I think it perhaps could have gotten knocked out or perhaps just the wind knocked out of him. But good, hard-nosed defense, and these two teams are playing for all they're worth.
Debbie James coming to the sidelines to talk with Coach Greg Croshaw. I'm not sure what about. Greg Croshaw now marching onto the field. Len Wolf has been out there, one of the assistant coaches for NEO. Now signals to have a couple of teammates come over and help. Apparently, the Northeastern ball player is down. Northeastern Oklahoma A&M began as the Miami School of Mines. And then, later on, was switched to Northeastern Oklahoma Junior College and then on to Northeastern Oklahoma Agricultural and Mechanical College. And one of the top junior colleges in the Midwest. If you want to talk about athletic excellence, five times national champs in football last year, became the first time national champ, first time in Oklahoma Junior College, won the national championship in basketball, and it went to NEO.
There's a great tradition back there. That really is a hotbed of a lot of great athletes in the Oklahoma and the Midwestern area like that. And it's fun, I think, for the people here in the St. George, Utah area to have a team of that caliber and, of course, all the tradition they have come out and play Dixie College. As you talk to the coaches, they like to be able to play groups from other areas. It's a little bit different style of football, but these two teams, however, are stacking up extremely close to each other. That's why we have a 21-14 score.
Now, the reason why Northeastern Oklahoma is here is because the Mid-American Bowl, which is also going on, and it's about matching us time-wise, getting up and walking off is number 46, Dwayne Simmons, one of the Cone captains, and everybody in Miami, Oklahoma is now going, not Simmons. Simmons is one of the outstanding ball players. He is up and walking, though, and whether he'll be playing anymore remains to be seen. But he went down. He went down. Dixie missing one of their offensive linemen, Pierluigi Muscatelli, a young man from Pesaro, Italy, who has had some visa problems and is not with them for this bowl game. On the right side, Kendall Smith. He has been on that right guard line, so they're missing their right guard. Handoff goes to the tailback, Teddy James again. James finds his way through. James is going to get the touchdown. Amazing. James, 16-yard touchdown run, his second of the day. And Teddy James now putting on a second-half show. Teddy James somehow got through the blocking, or the tackling.
That was a case where there was about 15 of the 22 players right in the center of the field on about the 10-yard line, and suddenly squirting out was James. He had one man to beat. The man got a hold of him and brought him down, but not in time. He picked up the 6 points. Just a good, straightforward, hard-nosed run.
New man to do the kicking for Dixie will be Jeffrey Winch. First time we've seen Jeff Winch punt or kick this year. Bill Hansen is not. The snap is up, and Winch nails it right through. And Jeff Winch, for the first time this year, gets a point. The young man from Phoenix, Arizona, make it 28-14. Dixie by 14 points with 11:36 left in the third quarter of play, back in 60 seconds. We'll keep it right here.
Interested in saving money? Then install a True Value Matter plumber. Natural gas water heater from J&J Building Supply. The 40-gallon natural gas energy-saving model is on sale right now for just $149.95 at J&J. With heavy-gauge steel, thermoglass lining, foam-lock insulation, heat traps, and a vacation setting, you can expect a substantial saving each and every year with energy-saving natural gas water heater. So
the ensuing kickoff right at the middle from the 21-yard line up to the 48-yard line. Just a blast right up the middle by number 29, Eldorado Cochran, and a good run back. Let's see where they're going to mark it down. It looks like they may mark it at the 46. He bounced to the 48-yard line, but they'll only give him to the 46.
A bounced or rolled by a couple of other players that hit him. Just a good run that time. Caught it on full speed on the run, went straight upfield, got a good wedge through the middle, and picked up good yardage.
Hand off up the middle. Now big cutting to the outside is LaShawn Johnson. Inside the 40, inside the 30. Correction, still on his feet. I think that is Tyrone Rogers, not LaShawn Johnson. It's Tyrone Rogers. Clear down to the 20-yard line. So from a first and 10 at the Northeastern Oklahoma 46-yard line. Big burst by Tyrone Rogers. It's similar to Teddy James, who went up the middle and suddenly escaped some tacklers and off to the outside.
Amazing, a little bit of fatigue set in. It appears right in the interior lineman there. They're getting through that very quickly. That time the Burschew got in the secondary, cut to the outside, and picked up big yardage. And that's the thing from NEO, is they have good outside speed.
Mark it at the 21-yard line of Dixie. First down and 10. Handoff to LaShawn Johnson. Johnson burst up the middle, inside the 20, down near the 17-yard line. So Tyrone Rogers, then LaShawn Johnson. Big gains as Northeastern Oklahoma is coming right back at Dixie. I think this has to show a little bit of the character of both teams as far as their competitive nature as they come right after each other. Mark it near the 18-yard line, almost to the 17, second down, and a short 7 yards coming up for NEO. 10:35 left in the third quarter, a lot of time left. Quarterback Jackie Hood, handoff to Tyrone Rogers, has some running room. First and goal, inside the 5. Down at the 4-yard line, saving tackle by Shane Tafoya.
And once again, Larry, we're seeing that exact same thing. They're breaking through at the line of scrimmage, and once they get into the secondary, they're getting some good yardage. That time, the hit was made. He bounced off, came to the outside, and moved in. And again, one man to pick him up, and it got him down.
First and goal at the 4-yard line of Dixie, and Northeastern Oklahoma coming right back. Northeastern Oklahoma coming right back. High formation on the running back. Pitch goes to LaShawn Johnson. Johnson upended down near the 1-yard line. LaShawn Johnson. Not enough for the touchdown. Mark it at the 1-yard line. It'll be second down and goal to go. Make it second and goal to go. With 9:47 left in the first half of play. Wide receiver to the right side, or in the third quarter of play, I should say. Derek Owens, wide receiver to the right side, two receivers to the left. Blast up the middle, touchdown, no question. That's the quarterback going to keep it, Jackie Hood. Just followed that big offensive line of Northeastern Oklahoma, and Hood has the touchdown, so take that. And after what was a defensive battle until about 5.5 minutes left in the first half of action, There's been nothing but scoring since then.
The two teams really starting to open up, and they're doing it very well. They're doing it on the ground. They're doing it through the air. They're mixing it up, and they're getting points on the board. We move to a 28-20 score. The chance now for NEO to come back within 1 point. We do have, it looks like, a personal foul called against Dixie.
Personal foul against Dixie. Will be marched off, I'm sure, on the ensuing kickoff. And that was a dead ball for personal foul. To do the kicking will be Jay Seals to try to put the extra point on this particular drive. Brian Brown comes out and is the long snapper on this. Brown, normally cornerback. The snap, the kick, Jay Seals puts it up and right through. Make it 28-21 as Northeastern Oklahoma has come back with 9:33 left in the third quarter. Dixie out in front, back in 60 seconds.
This season, take advantage of holiday prices on Foil Bryant's best quality paints at Jones Paint and Glass. Right now, you can get great savings when you use indoors the Foil Bryant Liquid Velvet Latex Flat Wall Paint, just $15.99 a gallon. Liquid Luster Latex Eggshell Enamel, $15.99 a gallon. Or Full Flow Latex Hemiglass Enamel, $15.99 a gallon at Jones Paint and Glass.
When you hear
on East Tabernacle. It's Subway Sandwich Anniversary Time in St. George and Cedar City, and you can celebrate with them as they offer a great special Friday and Saturday only. Buy one regular foot long and get a second for just 99 cents. Now, the Hurricane Subway Sandwich Shop is celebrating its grand opening, and there you can buy a regular foot long sandwich and get one free. No coupon needed. So celebrate with Subway and get a delicious foot long sandwich of your choice. Subway Sandwiches, two in St. George, also located in Cedar City and in Hurricane.
What was ruled as a personal foul has been changed to an unsportsmanlike conduct call against Dixie. And on the ensuing kickoff, that's what's taking place. 15 yards, marched off against the Rebels. Northeastern Oklahoma will be kicking from the 50-yard line. Now the question is, do you want to risk having an onside kick just on a hunch? Nope. Going to put it deep, right into the end zone. Tony Tolo'ono is going to be back in the end zone, step out of the end zone. It'll be a touchback. Flags on the play again at midfield. And I'm not sure what took place, but number 33, I believe that is Levy. Tony Levy has not had the best of days today. And number 23 for Dixie College, Jeff Sprague, got tangled up. And let's see, it looks like a clip coming up against Dixie. Levy was all upset when he saw the late flag, but it's going to be a clip against Dixie coming up, and apparently Sprague must have bumped him from behind. Tony Levy apparently thought that the penalty was against him. It was not. Suddenly, there are some clips, and Mike, it may be a case right now, as you mentioned, of weariness.
I think so. They put a lot into that first half of play, and this third quarter has been a lot of marching up and down the field. And I don't know what the case was, but head coach Wolf from the NEO Golden Norseman was stepping out onto the field and was really giving an earful to one of the referees or umpires. So apparently there's something they saw that they didn't like. Maybe they thought they should have had more than just the illegal clip. But nonetheless, they got the clip, and they're marching back 15 yards, and Dixie will start from deep in their own end area.
Well, first of all, they marched from the 20-yard line back to the 8-yard line, and now they put it back at the 10-yard line, half the distance to the goal line. And should it be a dead ball personal foul? Yes, it is. It is a dead ball clip, and so it's actually going to be first and 20 at the Dixie 10-yard line. And so suddenly, a bugaboo that has not been with Dixie here in this first half of the game, some penalties, now starting to crop up here in the third quarter. Dixie owns a 28-21 lead in what's kind of a strange beginning of a third quarter. Both teams have scored right off. 28-21, Dixie with the lead. Hand off to the first man through, Wilson Kavaka, across the 10-yard line, upended at the 12-yard line. Kevin Keith in there. At the bottom of the stack, a whole bunch of Golden Norsemen, and at the bottom, as always, Chuck Smith is in the middle of things. Also in there, number 94, Nick Collins, a linebacker. So Kavaka, the game, put it up to right about the 13-yard line. Gain of about 3 yards on the play. Second down, 17 yards coming up for the Rebels. Just a reminder for KDXU fans, we'll have triple header basketball action a little later this evening. And I know back in Miami, Oklahoma, there's a lot of basketball tonight, too. Handoff goes to Zed Robinson. I think he was looking for the flea flicker and suddenly realized there were people back there with Tyler DeHart, so he took off with it. Loss of about a yard, half yard on the play. Zed Robinson, the flea flicker was not there. Miami, Oklahoma team, northeastern Oklahoma, was headed back to Tyler DeHart.
Yeah, they were right back there with him. He turned, as you mentioned, looked like he wanted to flip back and then nowhere to go, so he just kind of backed up against the defense and tried to get something out of losing about 1 yard.
Loss of about a half yard on the play. Back to the 17-yard line. 8:21 left in the third quarter of play. 28-21. Dixie out in front, but not headed in the proper direction yet. Tyler DeHart back to pass. The passing game has been there for Dixie. Throwing deep to the left side. Pressure and a little bit of a collision out there between the offensive and wide receiver Nate Hansen and the defender out there. Once again, it's Tony Levy. Incomplete pass. And both teams having moments of brilliance and moments of not being able to execute. Personal foul against northeastern Oklahoma this time, and it goes the other way. So apparently the personal foul will be marched off the other way. 8:09 left in the third quarter of play, and suddenly, I guess, Mike, as you mentioned, the weariness, also the idea that maybe it's just getting a little sloppy right now for the two ball clubs here in the last half of the year.
That's right. And, you know, it's been a long season that they've put a lot into their ball games, and I think that it is close, Larry. It's a 7-point difference with a lot of time to play in this ball game, and so both of them still running on emotions out there, and perhaps emotions are taking over where the weariness is setting in, and a little bit of extracurricular activity going on.
First down and 10. That's enough to give Dixie the first down and 10 at the 28-yard line, correction, 27-yard line from the point of the personal foul. Timeout called by northeastern Oklahoma. 8:09 left in the third quarter. 28-21 Dixie, back in 60 seconds.
If you're a Dixie Rebel fan and a Sun Capital Bank customer, the bank thanks you. If you've not yet experienced Sun Capital Bank's personalized service, you now have our warm invitation to do so. Visit either of our two convenient locations for all of your financial needs, high-interest savings, interest-bearing checking, speedy loan service, and much, much more. We all know the Dixie Rebels are winners. At Sun Capital Bank, you'll discover you're number one with us. Member FDIC.
If you're ready to buy a Macintosh computer from Alpine Computing, you couldn't have picked a better time to do it. Between now and December 31st, Apple is offering cash allowances when you buy qualifying systems. You can use the rebate to get from $150 to $300 back on select Apple add-ons. And if you use Apple credits, you can defer payments with no finance charges until February. Some restrictions apply. See Alpine Computing, your Apple-authorized dealer, for details. Remember, Southern Utah Computer is now Alpine Computing, with locations in Richfield and St. George.
Larry, this update from the Mid-America Bowl in the third, Navarro, Texas, leading Ellsworth, Iowa, 20-14.
Whoa, that's turning out to be a little tighter game in the Mid-American Bowl than we expected. In the third quarter, 20-14, Navarro over Ellsworth. Thank you, Amy. In the third quarter, Navarro with the lead back there. That one will determine the national championship. The game by Zed Robinson was no gain, a loss of a yard back to the 26-yard line. Johnny McKee makes a second down and 11 yards to go for Dixie. Johnny McKee, the tackler right there that got Zed Robinson. Dixie's running game has not been there. Northeastern Oklahoma has designed a defense to stop Dixie's run, and they have done it against a huge offensive line for the Rebels. Take the handoff, back to pass. The pass complete to Nate Hansen. Nate Hansen has the first down at the 40-yard line, and Tyler DeHart having a great game. DeHart has to be considered for our KDXU Offensive Player of the Game, and for those who are listening in St. George, of course, we have the beautiful trophy from Dixie Trophy that will be presented next week to both the offensive and defensive players of the game for Dixie. There will be awards handed out to both teams by the Sunbrook Dixie Rotary Bowl Committee. And hopefully following the game, we'll be able to hear from both coaches. Jumping along the defensive line of scrimmage, handoff goes to the tailback, Zed Robinson. No flags anyplace. Robinson thrown for a loss. Back to the 38-yard line. Getting through there and knifing through was number 47. That's Willie Allen. Allen came coming through. Northeastern Oklahoma scrambling against Dixie. Actually, mark it at the 39, a loss of a yard instead of two. And Zed Robinson is not having that good game. But none of the other runners are, save Teddy James for one burst.
That's right. I think the defense of NEO has known what Dixie is known for, which is the running, and they've keyed on that. They've stopped that. But unfortunately for Dixie, they can't stop their passing game.
Northeastern Oklahoma has lived by the passing game also. Pitch goes to the tailback. Zed Robinson trying to turn outside. Gets away at the 40-yard line, at the 45, close to a first down territory. At least at midfield, he'll be no shorter than a yard away. So Zed Robinson, with the quickness that time when they got it to the outside, got around the defender.
And he had this one man to beat, and he just couldn't quite decide whether to move inside or outside. He faked outside, come back inside, then had his feet knocked out from underneath him, landed right smack dab on the 50-yard line. Looks like less than a yard short of that first down.
Less than a yard. They have to get just beyond the 50. So it'll be third down, less than a yard to go. From just short of the 50-yard line, the football length from the 50-yard line. Hand off goes to Wilson Kavaka, and he's not going to make it. That is rare. Put it back, a loss back to about the 48-yard line, or let's see, 49-yard line, straight on at the 49-yard line. So no gain by Wilson Kavaka, a loss of inches. Make it fourth down, and about a yard to go, and Dixie may go for it. 5:18 left in the third quarter of play. Dixie with a narrow 28-21 lead over Northeastern Oklahoma. Dixie may go for it, and they are right now. They need to get a yard. This is the challenge right at midfield. Strength against strength. Quarterback Tyler DeHart. Pitch goes to Zed Robinson. Sweeps to the left side. Does he have it? And it looks like he may not. If he missed, it's by inches. The placement is going to be close. Zed Robinson sweeping to the left side. Looked like he was going to have some running room, but Northeastern Oklahoma, in great pursuit led by Willie Allen, got there.
Just a tremendous job on the defense. As you can see, it's setting up. They swept to the far side, and the collision occurred right at the 50-yard line. Apparently, he has leaned forward, and that ball is very, very close. If he made it, he's going to make it by less than a couple of inches, Larry.
The officials put the football down. It's right in front of the NEO bench, and Dixie got it. That looked like about a third of the football, Mike.
Yeah, it was not much more than that, as it was about on the white stripe we could see from up here. So Dixie's big gamble paid off, at least to give him another four downs right now.
4:55 left in the third quarter of play. Glenn Wolfe, I think, was a little concerned about the placement, but it was right in front of him. Wolfe concerned about the ball club right now. Trailing by 7, 28-21, as Dixie trying to march against Northeastern Oklahoma. Putting together a long drive, or are they? Zed Robinson squirts through, gets a quick 5 yards down to the 45-yard line. Willie Allen once again. Allen is 6'2", 220-pound sophomore linebacker. apparently is the man that's supposed to stop Zed Robinson, because he is the man who has done it. Down to the 45-yard line, second down, about 5.5 yards to go. From just inside the 50 to just touching the 45-yard line. So about a 5.5, almost, 4.5, almost a 5-yard gain by Zed Robinson. Second down, long yardage coming up. Medium yardage. Pitch goes to Teddy James in a tailback. James gets through, has the first down inside the 40, down to the 39-yard line. And Teddy James, less the sweeping runner and more the take one step to the outside and turn up field sort of runner, gets it.
He did a good job. Yeah, he has a good ability to make a quick cut. That time he started the outside, cut back to the inside, hurdled one man, and then was not, had his feet knocked out from anything, but not until he got that first yardage or first down yardage. The play is coming in from Coach Shelley on the near sideline via the wide receivers.
To the left side, Kendall Smith, who was one of the heroes early in this game, gave the go-ahead touchdown to Dixie on a great effort, individual effort. 3:39 left in the third quarter. Handoff goes to Wilson. Kavaka breaks through. Kavaka at the 29. Kavaka at the 20. At the 15. Inside the 10. Being chased down. First and goal for Dixie at the 7-yard line. Wilson Kavaka finally breaking through, and that's the first burst of rushing that Dixie has had is here in the third quarter.
They're finally putting together their ground game, looking very well. This particular drive, as they've been doing it. Kavaka, what a man. When he gets moving, that's a lot to get moving, and he was really lumbering, and the defense finally caught up on him behind, but that's the first time I think his big burst up through the middle to gain of big yardage.
I like that. Gainage of big yardage. I like that. 20 yards the defenders ran with Kavaka before they actually felt like they could grab him. Kavaka was starting to pull away. 3:12 left in the third quarter. First and goal at the 7-yard line. Did they stay on the ground? Tyler DeHart pitches to Teddy James. James gets a block from Kavaka. James will be pushed out of bounds near the 4-yard line. Wilson Kavaka, who came and actually was listed on the roster as a defensive lineman at the beginning of the year, had to get some transcripts straightened out, and by the time that happened, he was two games into the year and at Arizona Western when he finally made his first appearance. And at Arizona Western, they changed the number, moved him to a fullback, and he's been there ever since. Second and goal at the 4-yard line. Gain of 3 yards by Teddy James. Dixie trying to punch in another touchdown. It's 28-21. Dixie out in front with 3:01 left in the third quarter of play. Terry Weekly to the left side. To the right side, Kendall Smith. I formation on the running back. Handoff goes to Teddy James. James has another yard. And Willie Allen in his lap again. Allen is there. Tony Levy is there. It looked like Northeastern Oklahoma stripped the football away from Teddy James again, but he was down by the time they got it.
Yeah, they did. They were trying to gain the attention of the referees, but I think the whistle had already blown. They did strip the ball out of his hand. The name you've mentioned quite a bit, Larry, and I've noticed myself, is Tony Levy. I'm very impressed. He has excellent speed to the outside, also good toughness on the inside. The previous play, he was the one who pushed him out of bounds. There he was, back in the middle of the field, also on top of the pile.
Looked like Teddy James had had a yard, but the placement says inches that he gained, and that was it. Third down, goal to go. I formation on the running back. Quarterback Tyler DeHart hands off to Zed Robinson, trying to turn outside. Robinson will get down to near the 2-yard line, and it's Willie Allen again. Also in there is number 12, Cleveland Phillips. Phillips in on the tackle. And at the bottom of the stack, you guessed it, Tony Levy. Levy, after that fumble, appears to be trying to make good the rest of the day.
Well, he has really settled down. And once again, he has just been playing an excellent defensive game here this afternoon. His name keeps popping up. And again, just the speed inside and outside. And quarterback, the heart started to come to the near side, and they put him back on. Now, Larry, they're going to go for it.
Fourth down and goal at the 2-yard line, and Dixie's going to try it again. Can they get it? Tyler DeHart, the quarterback, has a lot of yardage. Movement on the defensive side. And jumping early was number 96, Jeff Frost. That will give Dixie a little closer. Frost the man, so that'll draw Dixie a yard closer. Put it at the NEL 1-yard line, fourth and goal. And now that opens up all sorts of possibilities, including Tyler DeHart again.
Yeah, well, they're still talking down there. They may try to decide if it's going to be against Dixie. And if it is, I would guess number 66, Rodney Stone, is the offensive lineman who may have moved to draw him off. Now, I think that's the discussion going on right now.
Or is it going to be offsetting? The official coming to the sidelines, procedure call against Dixie. And it is. It's going to be a 5-yard penalty against Dixie. Fourth and goal, and move it back to the 7-yard line. And now that takes away your choice. I'm not sure if you really want to go from 7 yards out on a fourth and goal against the way Northeastern Oklahoma generally has played the run today.
No, and I think that's exactly what the coaches are deciding down there as well as they get their field goal unit in there. Yeah, 7 yards is an awfully different thing from a 2 yarder.
Jeff Winch, who has replaced Bill Hansen as the kicker here in the second half. Hansen, who is a Dixie High School grad, playing before the home folks in his first bowl game, has struggled. The snap is wide. The kick is up, partially deflected. It'll be in the end zone, taken by Northeastern Oklahoma. They'll get the touch. They'll get the touchback as it's caught in the end zone. The kick was blocked and taken by NEO in the end zone. It'll be a touchback back to the 20-yard line. And so for the third time today, Dixie has missed field goal attempt.
And that very well still may come back to haunt them. We have a minute and a half left to go here in the third quarter. Dixie has missed three opportunities here for, that's a total of 9 points, which should have been on the board, at least according to the hometown team here. So we'll have to wait and see. The kicking game has definitely been a minus for Dixie here this afternoon.
1:31 left in the third quarter of play. NEO takes over. Mike, I didn't see exactly which ball player got the hand on it.
I didn't catch which one did either. Someone on the right side or the left side, as we look at it, of that defensive line.
First down and 10 at the Northeastern Oklahoma 20-yard line. The Golden Norsemen with a chance to come back and tie or take the lead. A minute 31 left in the third quarter of play. Dixie's defense now to receive the challenge. Stop. NEO. Handoff. Fumble on the play. Handoff to LaShawn Johnson. Fumble. Just knocked away from it. And Shane Tafoya with the recovery, Mike.
Again, a good hard hit by the Dixie defense. The ball just squirted out of there, and I think that's been most of the cases here this afternoon. It's not a mishandling. It's hard hitting there.